You are welcome to Miracle Wave Broadcast with Dr. Augustus Okleme, a specialist surgeon and the senior pastor of Miracle Wave Church Worldwide. Stay tuned as we examine the scriptures and taste of God's goodness today. Expect a miracle today. Your testimony is on the way.
Hello and welcome to tonight's edition of Miracle Wave Broadcast. Bow your head with me. Let's share a word of prayer. Oh, yeah, meba. If you know it, sing it with me. Ye wa yeda nea wo yema. Ninanti beji wa ye. O nyame wafwe. Ye wa ye da. Ni a wo ye ma ye de ni nanti be ji wa ye. Our good God, we honor you tonight. We thank you for bringing us into your presence once again. We ask that you bless us tonight. Do us good. Reveal yourself to us by the power of your spirit and by the light of your word. Let strongholds be pulled down tonight. The things that have kept us in bondage and captivity, loose us. Let healing and health be ours. Let peace and strength be ours. Let hope, let love, let life flow into every home, into every situation. And do your people good. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to tonight's edition of Miracle Wave Broadcast. It promises to be a blessed time in the presence of Jesus. Every time we come to Him, we can expect something good to happen to us because He is a good God. Hallelujah. My name is Dr. Augustus, and I'm the pastor of Miracle Wave Church. We are in Kumasi, Chichiwere. You can find us on your GPS. It's just inside Kuchi. We are also at Wellowix Junction in Koforidua. I'm talking about the good will of God. The good will of God. It's important to understand this theme because of what our world tells us about God every time. What does the Bible also say about Him? What the world tells us about God's will? What does the Bible also say about Him or about it? Let's look at a story in Matthew chapter 8. Give me your best attention. This is something that will really change your life. You see, in Christianity or in life, what you know makes all the difference. Several years ago, a disease like tuberculosis was a death sentence. The tree man or the Asante man would call it in Samanwa. It means that when you start having this kind of cough, the ancestors are calling you and you are going to die definitely. That's tuberculosis. But as knowledge increased and treatment for the organism that causes tuberculosis, that's the Mycobacterium tuberculosis, the organism that's responsible, as treatment came that was able to eradicate it, people started to live. Today, tuberculosis is no longer a death sentence. So you see that in life, generally, the knowledge brings light, can bring you life, longer life. You see, when COVID-19 came, people began to study it, the virus, and one of the things that helped a lot was an understanding of how it was transmitted, that it was transmitted by droplets through the atmosphere and all of that. So they began to roll out preventive measures. Okay, do this. Cover your mouth, your nose. Wash your hands frequently and stuff. And then with time, vaccines were developed. And there was a wide rollout of the vaccination program. Okay, and now COVID-19, even though it's still in the system, it's not impacting men as it did just about a year or two ago. So many people died. Millions of people died as a result of the virus. I just forgotten the number, but several millions of people died as a result of the virus. But you see how much of a difference knowledge has made. And it's the same in the spirit. The truth you know is what sets you free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what happens when you don't know the truth? You remain bound. And that's why you have to make time to listen to broadcasts like this one, which give you the light of God's word. I don't come and give you people's theories, and I don't come and tell you news. You have the radio station for those things. I come to tell you God's news. It's the good news, and it's in the pages of the scripture. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this story in Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus was come down, so Jesus had preached the Sermon on the Mount. Beautiful, beautiful sermon. Telling us how to be blessed. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He told us so many beautiful things in that sermon. And now on his way down, he met someone. You see, this is why we need God's power. You see, the church is not just we don't just come and talk and talk and talk. Jesus himself didn't just come and talk. If you take his miracles, the miracles out of the Bible, I don't know how much of scripture you'll be left with, because even the Bible was given by revelation and inspiration of the Spirit of God. That's why the church can't be satisfied that we teach. The church just can't be satisfied that we preach good. The church must look or seek to be like Christ. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about. He was preaching, he was teaching and all those nice things. But he was also doing good and healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases among the people. He said all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If God is with us as he was with the church, then we will do in the world what the early church did. If God is with us as he was with his son, then he will do through us what he did with his son. And that's what every church should seek for. Every pastor should seek. There is no time Jesus sends people out to preach without power. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, he sent them, he called his disciples, he went and told them to go preach. Then he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. That's Jesus for you. And he sent them out other times. Luke tells us about it, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10. And the Bible says each time he commands them to heal. Every time Jesus sends us forth, he sends us forth with power. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us about how Jesus was sending his disciples to be witnesses. But he said, you guys have got to wait for the power of the Spirit. He said, you shall receive power. Power, power, power has to come upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. And in Acts chapter 3, as they had started witnessing and preaching the gospel, Peter was going to church one day and he met a man who was crippled from his mother's womb at the beautiful gate in front of the temple. Definitely, he has to be in front of the temple. That's where the help of God will come from. And that day was the day that God's help was coming to him. As Peter came close, he saw this man. The man thought that maybe it's another coin or something. But Peter looked at him and asked him to look at them. When the man turned his attention to Peter, Peter said, he was expecting some coins, some one city at the most. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. This is the church. This is what the church does. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The name of Jesus Christ is still powerful. The name of Jesus Christ still gives solutions. The name of Jesus Christ still brings answers. And the church must bring these answers to the world. Say amen. Hallelujah. I'm so fired up about this. Ah, my goodness. Jesus hasn't changed. He does the same things today as he did then. And the church hasn't changed. The church, just like the Holy Ghost was with the church then, he is with the church now. Jesus promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, as you go and you preach and you teach and you make disciples for me, he said, I am with you till the end of the age. His power doesn't diminish. If anything, it gets greater. The Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. We can expect greater miracles in the days ahead. We can expect greater manifestations of God's power in the days ahead. We can expect greater revelations and greater impact of God and His Spirit on our generations. Say amen. Oh, I'm in love with God's word, and I'm in love with His power. I'm in love with the Holy Ghost. I believe in the fullness of the scripture. You see, how will people experience God's love and God's goodness if there is no demonstration of God's power? Then all that we'll have will be is good counselors and advisors and people who are giving nice suggestions. Oh, but thank God that He does more, and He has power to change things and to make ways for you. Expect a miracle tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow. Let's look at it. So after Jesus had taught for so many days and given such nice preaching and such nice word, he had more to offer. I came to announce to you, young man, you are a preacher. There is more to this assignment than just the preaching of the word. It's powerful. Oh, yes. But God has power. There's a song that says, Christ Jesus has the power. Yes. He came down, Jesus, and there, behold, there came a leper. A leper. The leper worshipped him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper had been at the service and had heard the nice teaching, though he was probably at the extreme portions where no one could come close, because if you're a leper at that time, you don't mingle with the people. The leper has heard his teaching. The leper has heard about, God's goodness. The leper has heard such wonderful things as ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened for you. The leper has heard such wonderful things as the Lord's Prayer. As for this, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. You see, the things that Jesus had taught within this on this mount as he preached, okay? Wonderful truths. But he was still a leper. He was still a leper. His problem was just where it is. But Jesus was not helpless and hopeless in the face of the problem. Jesus had an answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. He doesn't just preach good. He has the power to turn this leper situation around. But the whole my point is in this leper's question. The leper asked a very interesting question. He said, Lord, if you will, or he made a statement that's interesting, if you will, you can make me clean. Why should he think that God doesn't want him well? Several years, over 2,000 years after this incident, people still believe that it's God's will that they are in their own kind of leprosy, whichever type of leprosy that is. People still believe that it's God who has brought their predicament upon them, and it's God's will that they are in those situations. But I came to announce to you that God's will is a good one, and it's not an evil one. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Have the Bible, open it with me. Verse 11. Look at what God said. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace. not of evil, to give you an expected end. This leper's leprosy was not God's making. God didn't make him leprous. God doesn't get glory from leprosy. There's a scripture that confuses a lot of people that I want to clarify. In John chapter 9, Jesus met a man who was born blind. And before I read the scripture, you need to understand that in the original manuscripts, there are no punctuations, there are no chapters, there are no verses like verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. It's one long, just written together everything. Okay? So the translators of the scripture, they put punctuations in, they put in chapters and verses so that it will be easy for people to refer to places in the scripture. They put chapters and verses people to easier for people to what, memorize the scripture. Okay, but there are no chapters in the original manuscripts of the scripture. There are no verses. A lot of these things were letters, particularly the New Testament. Paul wrote letters. Who writes chapters and verses? Like chapter 1 in your letter, chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 1. There are no such things, but they put these things in there to help make reference easier. But in some of the places, you can see that some of the punctuations did not help the meaning of the scripture. There are also other issues with translation. You know, for instance, when one of the difficult things is explaining medical terms in Tupi, it sometimes gets very challenging. Why? Just because the vocabs are not available. The vocabulary in the vernacular you want to use may not be available to really explain what you want to refer to. One typical example, in Chi, if you want to speak about a nerve, you have to say in Tini. If you want to speak about an artery, that's a blood vessel that carries oxygenated blood, you say in Tini. If you want to speak about a vein, another blood vessel that carries deoxygenated blood, you say in Tini. So everything is in Tini. So which one are you talking about? And that's the issue with translation. And that's why sometimes preachers will tell you that this is what the Hebrew means, or this is what the Hebrew, the Greek word is talking about. It helps us get the full picture. So if you have access to that Bible, fantastic. You can look at those things. They'll help you to get what the person is saying. Yeah. So the translation and the interpretation is very important. And that's why we have several people who have, there are several translations of the scripture looking at the original manuscripts. There are several people translate differently. So the King James is not Hebrew or Greek. It's also an authorized version by King James at that time. Okay. And now let's look at what the scripture I'm talking about. Jesus passed by, saw a man who was blind from his birth. The disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now look at Jesus' response, and let's read his response. But I would like to adjust the use of the punctuations. I'll remove the full stop from the end of verse 3, and I'll put my full stop after the word sinned. So it will read this way: Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents." That's where I'll put my full stop. Okay, now let's continue reading. Understand that these punctuations were put in by the translators. So neither has this man sinned nor his parents, full stop, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let me read it again. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, full stop. That's in response to the disciples' questions. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The glory of God doesn't come from the man being born blind. The glory of God comes from Jesus Christ working the works of God in that man's life and giving him sight. Hallelujah. God's glory, God is not glorified by what you are suffering. Hey, God, I'm just going through this thing because God put it on me, blah, blah, blah. Please, that's not the truth. He came to take it away. Look at how much Jesus suffered for your peace and for mine. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, shalom, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. In Jeremiah 29:11, where he read, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace. The same word, shalom. And what does shalom mean? Shalom means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, safety, health, prosperity, tranquility, contentment. These are God's thoughts towards you. These are God's thoughts towards me. And he added, not evil. Why does God have to say my plans for you are of peace, not evil? Because people think that God is out to do them evil. God is the source of this evil or that evil. But the Bible tells us the source of the evil that we have. The Bible tells us that this world is in the hands of the wicked one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, if you're reading your Bible, which I hope you are, you'll find out that this God is written with a small g. The Bible refers to someone as a God in this world. He said the God of this world, the God of this world, and he uses a small g to refer to him. He says there is a God in this world, and the evil in this world is attributable to him, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, capital G, should shine unto them. When you read Luke chapter 4 from verse 6 to 8, Jesus had an encounter with this God of this world. He's called the devil. The Bible says he took him to a high mountain and he showed him certain things, and he said to him in verse 6, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Adam in the garden, he handed over control of things to this God of this world. It's Adam who ceded his authority on this in this life to Satan. So God is God overall, but this world has a prince over it, or has a God over it. And he is responsible for what we see. The pandemics, the destruction of life, the wickedness, the death, the harm, the sicknesses, the diseases. The Bible tells us that there is a God of this world and that he is responsible for these things. He got the whole world in his hands. He can have your whole world in his hands. But the world is under the influence of was supposed to be under the influence of man, but man ceded it. It's like someone gave you a house and you gave it out for rent. God gave this earth to man. He said, you be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion. And man went and listened to the devil, and he delivered it to him. And that's what the devil told Jesus. And Jesus didn't say it's not true. In fact, when you read John chapter 12 verse 31, Jesus spoke about the prince of the world. And he mentioned this prince, Archon, the prince, that's ruler, commander, chief, leader. And he wasn't referring to the God of heaven, nor was he referring to himself. The enemy, the devil, man has made him the prince of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now look at John chapter 14 verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, saying that thing again, Archon, ruler, commander, chief, leader of this world. That's what Jesus said the devil is. The evil that you are experiencing, God is not the cause, nor is he the source. He takes you out of it. Say aloud, amen. He brings you out. He heals you. He delivers you. That's why he sent Jesus. Man ceded his authority to the devil. The devil brought man into bondage, but Jesus came and he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed, he paid the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price, to make you and I free again, free in him. And that's why we live. When we get born again, the Bible says he has brought us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. When you read First John chapter 5 verse 19, he said, we know that we are of God, little children, but the world, it lies in wickedness. Better translation is, the world lies in the power of the evil one. The English Standard Version, the Christian Standard Bible also all use this that language. The English Standard Version said, it lies in the power of the evil one. The Christian Standard Bible said, it lies under the sway of the evil one. Okay? So the world has its has its commander. It has its leader. Jesus referred to him as the prince of this world. And it's not Jesus. It's not God of heaven. Adam ceded that authority. But Jesus comes to bring us out of the darkness into this marvelous light. His marvelous light. The Bible says he has redeemed us from the power of darkness. That's what he comes to do. He has you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. God willing, next week I'll probably, if God permits me, I'll expatiate on this some more. But God is not the source of the problems or the cause. He is the healer, and he brings us out. I'm going to pray for you tonight. If there's any sickness in your body, Jesus will set you free. Oh, hallelujah. A child came to our service at our just ended Change My Story convention. She's been having recurrent episodes of pain in her joints, and the Lord showed me. I called the child for her to pray for her. The Lord told me that these were the beginnings of leukemia, okay, a condition that is associated with abnormal production of the cells of blood, okay, and it's sometimes associated with this pain. So as she came to stand in front, I saw her in the spirit, and she was having so much pain all over her joints. And as I began to pray, the Lord healed her that day. Today she came for our youth explosion program, and as people were coming to testify of their healing, she also came. And I said, "What did Jesus do for you?" And I like her response. She said, "He healed me." Oh, what a response. She said, "He healed me. Last, I was having so much pain when I came to church at the last convention, but Jesus took it away." Bow your head. Let every pain leave your body now. In the name of Jesus, let weakness leave you. In the name of Jesus, rheumatism, recurrent joint pains are leaving you right now. Let migraine headaches leave you now. In the name of Jesus, let asthma leave you now. In the name of Jesus, let blurred vision be corrected. Let your eyes see clearly. Let your ears open. Let your ears hear clearly. In the name of Jesus, be loose from every fear, every crippling fear, every panic. Be loose right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let the joy of the Lord fill your life, fill your home. In Jesus' mighty name. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight? Just pray this prayer with me. Say, "Father, I turn to you today. I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus is your son. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and you rose again. Come into my heart and be the Lord and master of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. It's Pastor Augustus. I'll be with you again next week. God bless you.
Miracle Wave Broadcast is brought to you by Miracle Wave Church, a growing church committed to preaching Christ Jesus and doing his works today. In Kumasi, you can find us at Chichere, inside Kochi. You can get there using the Santase Kokobin Road on the Sokoban Kwauma Road. You can also locate us on GPS at Miracle Way Church Glory Temple. Call or WhatsApp Miracle Way Church on 0249-471769. You can also find Miracle Way Church on Facebook. Send your testimonies and prayer requests. We would love to hear from you and pray with you. May you experience God's goodness today. Join us same time next week for an encounter with the God of miracles. Don't doubt it. Experience it for yourself. Miracle Wave Broadcast. There is always hope and help in Jesus. Miracle Wave Broadcast. It is miracle time.